All right, fantastic. Well, I'm really excited about today's call. We have a lot to accomplish today, and obviously, you know, only a short amount of time to be able to do that. So let's dive right in. Several items of note that I really want, I guess, help for lack of a better term, but feedback is really the where we want to be on this. As you all know, Kung Fu Panda 2 released over the weekend, and I'm getting lots of results in from our folks all over the nation who are, you know, having great results with the promotion so far. I'd love to have more results. I'd love to know exactly where everybody's at and to be able to draw some conclusions about how effectively we've built these systems, right? That, you know, the results of these types of promotions really help me sort of determine a number of things, including, of course, you know, how, where the gaps are. You know, my favorite game, any of you guys who are, you know, Peak Performer Inner Circle members or interact with us on a one-on-one basis, you know that my favorite game is At the Gaps. You know, measuring exactly where we are, finding out where the, you know, low conversion ratios lie and fix it, you know, if there's an objection that we can't overcome, if there's a sales objective or some challenge that we're having. That we can't figure out how to overcome, we zap the gap, right? We figure out how to fix it. So this type of feedback helps me in a couple of ways. It helps me, number one, measure how effective we were with helping you guys accomplish this stuff, helping our members and our you know, of course, our franchise locations, but our all of our members penetrate this opportunity and create new students, which will then help us impact the community in general and the planet, frankly. You know, we're all collaborating on a pretty important mission here to literally change the world. I mean, our product has a way of changing people the way virtually no other has. And we all should be ecstatic about sharing those benefits with the world at large. So I really love to know your results. I want to spend probably don't have a lot of time to do that on this call. However, if we have some time at the end, maybe we can do that. But just shoot me an email, and here's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know, you know, how many warm leads you generated over the weekend, how many of those are appointments, you know, concrete appointments to come in for an intro, and how many so far you've done the intros for and where you're enrolling them at, you know. I'll give you some examples. The first five or six people that I heard from, obviously, with our franchise locations, we have a pretty good, you know, communication stream with them. But I heard from Terry Hamm, who is in Illinois, I think. Ooh, I may be wrong about that. I can look that up quickly. But Terry Hamm did 200-plus warm leads in opening weekend. So his spin wheel promotion, they filled out the slip to spin the wheel. They all won 2 weeks of free lessons plus whatever the wheel landed on, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he collected over 200 kids, basically families, 200 families, complete contact information, for, you know, name, email, phone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all for follow-up for this week. So great work for Terry. We also had, obviously, our several of our early results have been from some of our franchise locations that we have, you know, direct contact with, you know, very quick direct contact with. And we've had Grandmaster Jeff Smith in Sterling, Virginia, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. Obviously, they were collecting leads as well, but their primary mission was setting intro appointments. So the people who spun the wheel, filled out the form, they wanted, you know, some kind of an intro program, and he did 92 introductory appointments scheduled. So he booked up basically little group intros, you know, to be truth be told. But he booked up 92 concrete appointments for people to come in starting Monday. I'm sorry, Tuesday. And also our MAMA Inner Circle member, Robert Blum, up in New Jersey, did 150 leads. And then Sasha Williams in Fresno, California, which interesting enough, by the way, Fresno, California is, after the real estate crash, was, I think, like the second most challenged economy in the nation, something like that. I think right after Detroit. Sasha is a fantastic implementer and really focused on growing his business. And he did 120 intros just over opening weekend. So far he has the intro set record. And Terry Ham is somewhere around the number of leads generated record, although I don't have leads generated for Sterling and for the Denver locations. So I'm still waiting for complete results from all those guys. But whatever you did, wherever you're at, send those results over to me. I'd love to share them with the group. I'd also love to know, you know, what breakthroughs, if any, you had over the weekend. And I'll share a couple with you that you know, things that we learned. And we learn every year. Every time we do these things, we learn more and more and more. And we get better and better and better at these things. This is, you know, the nature of growth, right? But also the nature of collaboration is we have the opportunity to share our challenges and figure out where the gaps were. If you know, you went out to the theater and you only generated 12 leads, well, you know, we've got some opportunity there, right? We've got some real, you know, some real opportunity to create, to fix that for you. So, you know, send me over your results to TobyMilroy@nava.com. Email all those over to me. If you can put, like, panda results in the subject line or something like that, that would help me, you know, extract them from about the 400-something emails I get a day. So that's basically just subject number one. Great results from opening weekend so far. Now, if for some reason you weren't able to, you know, participate in the first weekend, you know, Memorial Day weekend opening, you know, you haven't missed the boat completely on this thing yet. Keep in mind, not only will we have, you know, lots of traffic for that film next week and probably the week following, it was a big opener, so, you know, made a bunch of money, a bunch of people wanted to see it. Not only is that the case, but obviously there'll be a couple more weeks of traffic on this one, but then right away back-to-back, in a couple of weeks we've got Cars 2, then a couple of weeks later is Harry Potter, and then a couple of weeks later is the Smurfs. All will have a big family draw. Obviously, the Harry Potter film will be a little bit older, and the Cars will be a little bit younger, but still, great opportunity to get in front of a huge flow of traffic, and using this exact same strategy, you know, we'll be able to generate another few hundred leads or better, and a couple of hundred appointments or better over the next few weeks. So definitely big opportunity time. The second piece of this that we really haven't talked about much, but I think is useful to kind of reiterate, we mentioned it a couple of calls ago, is virtually all of the bigger chain theaters, and I don't know about all the little mom and pops, but I'm sure that they do something like this as well. In the summertime, as sort of a benefit, you know, keep in mind the theater's primary revenue stream is concessions. They make very little on every ticket sale. But their mission really is to sell popcorn and drinks. So during the summertime, typically on like a Tuesday morning or a Wednesday morning or, I don't know, a Thursday morning, you know, whatever it may be, they have sort of like a summer family movie special thing. And sometimes it's a dollar movie or $2, or sometimes it's even free. I've seen kind of both models. But this is sort of like, again, like a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. or something like that. And not only is that an area of opportunity for you to get in front of who just kind of natively come to that, and they usually do a relatively good job. I know AMC is one of the bigger chains in Florida here, and they do a very good job of promoting that. I mean, they have big signs and billboards and, you know, banners and things like that everywhere for their summer family movie promotions. So they do a pretty good job of promoting it, but it's not only a great place to get in front of traffic that organically comes to that onesie, twosie, but, you know, if you drew a 10-mile radius around your local martial arts school, you would probably find, you know, every other or perhaps two of every three elementary school, daycare, and other summer camp program in your community, right? All of the elementary schools who have a summer camp and the daycares and things like that. A lot of them go to that thing as a field trip, right? So they'll put, you know, 50 kids on the bus and drive them down there and take them to that film because either it's low cost or no cost for them. They have the kids bring a few extra bucks for concessions, and it's a win-win for everybody. You know, the summer camp has a 2.5-hour, 3-hour field trip that they can do that doesn't take a lot of energy or effort, and everybody wins. The theater owner wins a little bit, and, you know, it's just a win-win for everybody. So that's another theater connection that you should be thinking about once you kind of have your toe in the door or your foot in the door with the owner and with this type of relationship. That's another opportunity for you to get in front of a pretty good flow of traffic. And, again, most of these guys will have a sense of how successful they are with that thing. You know, most of them do, you know, again, in my specific area, and I know these folks very, very well. We've done lots of stuff with them. And every summer, they do a great job of bringing in those summer camps. In fact, the manager of the local AMC theater, which is kind of a shock because it's like an employee guy, right? But he actually called us one year asking us if we were having a summer camp to see if we could go to them as a field trip, right, at our martial arts school. So I'm assuming he called all the other ones as well, right? But now that may be an exception to the rule, so you got to go meet them. But the point of the matter is this is another opportunity to, you know, get in front of a bunch of traffic. So that's that. So please send me your results. You know, shoot me an email. Let me know where you're at with all that stuff, especially any, you know, opportunities, any breakthroughs, any, you know, new little tweaks to this thing that you uncovered, and any challenges that you may have had. And that'll really help us to tweak and move this system forward, you know, each and every time we do it. One of the big tweaks this year, which we didn't stumble across last year for Karate Kid, and we didn't do anything with, as far as I remember, for the original Kung Fu Panda, was David Inman in Texas found a resource, just on Amazon, I think, where he could get the Kung Fu Panda costume. And his impression of it was very professional and very well done, and he went and stuck a staff member in that thing and drove traffic to the booth. So pretty cool, pretty valuable tweak. I think I can't remember, but I don't think the costume was very expensive. I think it might have been $130 or so.
We looked at that on that last Tuesday call. That they were on eBay all over the place. For in the range of $150 to $300. You know, and we're talking about normal adult size, like, you know, costumes that look kind of like you'd have at Disney. So there's a whole bunch of them that are all over eBay. Again, the range of $150 to $300. So, yeah, you know, and some of the traditionalists I've seen, you know, even some people advertising, your consultant or billing company telling you to put a Power Ranger costume on, a Ninja Turtle costume. You know, that's just moronic thinking. See, you know, I've done an awful lot of marketing over the years, as you know, and we used to have a Ninja Turtle costume and a Power Ranger costume, and it's the same. You do it just like Walt Disney World does it with Mickey Mouse. You know, you put a person, preferably in a martial arts uniform, as their escort, with a guest pass and a clipboard, and you escort the 15-year-old that you're paying $5 an hour to wear the damn costume around, and make appointments. You know, it's a kid magnet, and you know, especially this is going to attract all the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds who want to get a picture with the panda. And then Jeff Smith was just telling me, or somebody else, maybe it was Sasha Williams, that they also have the other characters in the movie. So they actually had a panda costume and the tiger costume. So Tigress and Panda, both had costumes. So they had one of each out there. So again, really, 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 really useful.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, very cool stuff. I mean, I don't know, perhaps this being a sequel gave everybody a little more time to figure all this stuff out, you know, that piece of it out. But again, I don't know, man. This is a trade show, right? Basically, if you look at the way a movie theater works or a carnival, you know, please don't let anybody get too bogged down in, this is exactly how you do just a movie theater thing. It's different if you're at a carnival or a fair or a children's expo or a demo, you know, whatever. It's all the same. It's a trade show model. This is an area where you have a large volume of people for a short period of time, and you've got to, number one, get them to go toward your booth. You then, number two, have to get them to stop for a couple of minutes. And then you, number three, have to, you know, quickly exchange information, you know, get their information, and then get them psychologically committed to doing something, you know. And if you have the opportunity to go to any trade shows, I mean, forget the martial arts trade shows, because almost none of them really understand how this stuff works. But, you know, if you go to big industry like franchise trade shows, things like that, you'll see very sophisticated approaches about how to stop traffic in front of the booth and how to get them to engage with people that are there. And it's not about standing behind a table hoping someone walks by, right? The most successful one that I've ever heard of, and Meshaw, you know these guys really well, is the folks from the Kennedy's Barber Club. And in their trade show display, they literally brought in barber chairs, and people were doing, like, straight razor shaves and stuff like that right in front of it, right in the middle of the trade floor. And, I mean, you want to talk about stopping traffic, that's going to stop traffic. You know, they're going to stop and say, what the hell is going on here?
Paul Mitchell does that as well. They do haircuts on site. Let me suggest for a second here that if we shift gears for a moment and we did a very comprehensive call on how to run these theater promotions last week, and anybody who's on this call who was not on that call, you know, should go pull that replay. And, you know, you did a marvelous job of documenting much of it from Karate Kid on how this thing works. And, you know, you and I have talked to a bunch of people, and I wanted to point out a couple of things, and we're preaching to the choir here, but, you know, I talked to almost everybody one-on-one who was at our New York or Chicago seminar. And some of them were members, some of them were not members. And there are some very common things that are a problem. With regard to the movie, and I want to point out some terminology here, is, you know, I've come to the conclusion with all these promotions that the deal is making appointments on the spot. And we talk in direct response marketing terms about generating a lead and follow up on the lead. And you don't want to do anything in your marketing effort if you can't at least get a lead. In other words, get a name, address, email address, phone number. But in these different fairs, carnivals, and so forth, it's not like a lead box. It's, you can actually talk to a human being and make an appointment on the spot. And what I'm seeing happening nowadays is that if you generate a lead and turn them into appointments, sometimes it takes mailing to them 52 times, sending them 223 emails, you know, a broadcast voicemail, and sending them, putting a live human being on, calling their number 12 times to ever get hold of them. Because a lot of people just don't seem to answer their phones nowadays. But if you make an appointment on the spot, it's a much easier process. So one of the things, I was talking to a school, and they're not a member, but they thought they had done the Panda promotion well, and they had gone out and they had done a demo. Two different schools, by the way. One had gone out and done a demo and passed out 750 flyers, proud of themselves. The next one I talked to, same thing, not a member, had gone to the theater, was set up in the theater, and generated 30 leads, no appointments. Well, you know, to turn 30 leads into 15 appointments is pretty difficult, but where they were at, they probably could have. We just got off our other call, Toby, and we had one school that generated 110 appointments, and these are for families, not individuals. Another school that generated 120 appointments, and you can kind of go through the list, but, I mean, those are the kinds of results you can have if you're following the system as we outlined it last week and is outlined in the website and really, really taking action. But, Toby, I thought it might be useful to walk people through a reminder of going in and getting that information and implementing, because if they implement there, they've got a big problem, and there's plenty of opportunity all through June here, so if they haven't done it yet, they can still do it, right? But it might be useful to point out some of the things that we've come across by talking to school owners, especially school owners who are members who are still missing some key elements in their school. And and give them some thoughts on what we can do to radically accelerate the progress here in the summer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things I will point out is, I made kind of the rash decision of talking one-on-one with each of, and then I didn't do it with the Dallas seminar. I probably should have in retrospect. But with everybody who came to our event in Chicago and in New York, and we're already booked to go to Washington, D.C. and L.A., I think, in September. But I talked one-on-one with everybody, and I was most shocked, frankly, not that the people who aren't in our circle were doing a lot of stupid things, but we had a fair number of members I talked to who still weren't, like, really on the same page. And a couple of key elements. Key element number one is revenue per student. Is you've got to have a tight sales process for the enrollment process, a tight enrollment process, and a renewal system that ends up in an upgrade, such that you put all the pieces together, and the way you can tell if you're doing a decent job or not is you take your total average monthly revenue, divide by your active count. And that number should be, baseline 200 a month per student, preferably 250, 300, even more. And what we're seeing is it was a distinct contrast, because, again, I can say this after talking to over 50 schools in the last 3 weeks, is the guys who are failing have three or four key characteristics. Characteristic number one is they're charging too little. I even talked to members who are charging between $75 and $100 a month. The schools that were netting $100,000 or more a year were charging base level $129 or $139 up to $250 or more for their initial enrollment. The second key element is most of the schools that are failing are doing little or no marketing, and they all tell me that they rely on word of mouth, which means mostly they show up at the school at 4 and leave at 8 and don't do anything. And a third key element was Collins in his book, Good to Great, called BHAG. The schools that are flying high have big, hairy, audacious goals. The schools that are flatlined, Nick Okinas used to call it sliding along laterally, are happy for incremental improvement. And Toby, as you well know, Robert may be on the call, but he's a good example. We've taken a whole bunch of people as members. Sean Harvey's another good example, from 5,000 or 7,500 a month to.
Hey, Matt, John, how are you?
Hey, Robert. So I'll use you as an example. When you came into Peak Performers, what was your average revenue?
Monthly or yearly?
Monthly.
5,000.
Okay, so you were doing 5,000 in May, if you don't mind. What did you do?
For the month of May, we did 39.
39. Okay, so you had a slow start. When I thought you were estimating 43.
Yeah, we were a little short. I didn't get a cash out, but I hope.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the progression was from 5,000 a month to, let's say, an average of 40,000 a month now, and. Robert, you were there with the guys in New York, and again, I've talked to pretty much everybody one-on-one. And, I can sit down with a school owner, and if they're at $5,000 a month and they're going to be happy at $7,000 a month at the end of the year, they're flatlined. They're on a plateau and they're going nowhere. On the other hand, I talk to school owner, and you look at that where they're at, and they can go from 5 to 15 to 30 to 40 to 50 in a progression that's what was your progression? Or was it about 20 months?
Yeah, about 20 months to 2 years, somewhere in that time frame.
Okay. And so
that was to about 30,000. Mm-hmm. And then, we had some other glitches and system issues and some other things that, we had to fix. And within the next year to 18 months, we got all that fixed, and that's when we started doing, 35, 40 regularly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, again, going through these one-on-one calls, you know, and everybody should write this down. It's big, hairy, audacious goals. If you're at 5,000, you set a goal to be at 20,000, you can get excited about that. If you're at 20,000, you set a goal to be at 40,000, you get excited about that. But if you're at 20,000, you set a goal to be at 23, you know, you might as well be on a respirator. And so there's four key elements. One is failing schools are charging too little. Failing schools don't have a good renewal and upgrade process. Number three, failing schools just aren't doing enough stuff to market their school, and oftentimes do it poorly. I talked to another school and tried to explain to them that two elements that we talked about. One is, you know, their external marketing. Two was their website. And they said, oh, we do it, you know, we get three or four students a month, but we do a lot of marketing. I said, well, what, for instance? They said, well, we went to a school and we did a demo. Well, the demo was jumping over people and breaking bricks and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Big problem. But I said, well, you know, if you're paying attention to what we're telling people is, but you know, again, they weren't a member, is this is about generate a lead and have it be a participant, not a spectator activity. So you'd be much better off to have 30 or 60 at a time, have them take a class before the class, get permission slips, and now you have 450 to 500 leads, rather than you did a demo for 600 people and you passed out flyers and you invited them down to an event. And so key elements number one is people are charging too little. And everybody, by the way, has an excuse. I talked to a school that's in one of the richest suburbs of New York City, and they told me people can't afford it. And I talked to a school that's in, you know, suburban Illinois with lower income that's charging double what they were charging. That's doing fine. And by the way,
even better, Mr. Oliver, the seminar in Chicago, we had one gentleman who was there attending a seminar who was literally across the street and down to a coaching client who's charging about a sixth of what the coaching client is and still blames it on the demographics. So.
Well, we had the same thing in New York. We had a couple people who were down the street from Robert's. So, Robert, what are you charging for new enrollment right now?
$197 with $199 down.
Yeah. And so there was one within a couple miles of you. I can't remember which one specifically, but it's all become a blur. But there was one that was in the immediate area that you're in that was charging $75 a month and explaining to me that was the most they could, you know, that they could do in their area. You know, and I remember years ago I had the experience of we were in Syracuse, New York, and took a bunch of people up to Stilo Valley School in Syracuse. And we wandered down the street to one of the Fred Villari schools. And the guy in the Fred Villari school, I told him I run a karate school in Denver, and was just up here and wanted to kind of look at his school and started asking him questions. And he explained to me very proudly that he was doing $4,000 a month. And, you know, I acted impressed and, you know, asked him what, you know, what some of their best schools to do, and he told me, well, there's a school in Philadelphia that does $7,500 a month. They're really kicking butt. And then I asked him what he was charging. And he had no clue that right down the street, literally a quarter mile away, was a school that was charging triple what they were charging, not doing any private lessons at all with that at all, grossing at the time $47,000 a month, rather than $4,000 a month. And it's just a matter of having the right expectation, having the big goals, and knowing what you're looking to achieve. So it's just amazing. But again, going through my checklist, it's endemic that schools that are doing poorly don't have a renewal system. Some of them do, you enroll for 12 months and you renew for 12 months. Another 12 months. Some of them are doing, you know, month to month and haven't gotten over, you know, doing contracts or whatever yet. And there's a lot of schools that just, you know, they think that doing the things that's going to make their school create a living for themselves are somehow going to be hard to do with their students in their neighborhood, with their people, with their style. And of course, it doesn't matter what style it is. We've done this with MMA, we've done Krav Maga, we've done it with soft style, with Tai Chi, with cardio kickboxing, you know, all across the spectrum. But they just have all these excuses that keep them in the mode of not being able to get out of their own way. The other thing that I saw pretty much across the board, and again, there's a big difference between, you know, schools that are having some success and schools that are failing, is the guys who are having success take immediate action, step up to the plate for their own education, and take the highest, quickest steps they can. So a school owner that's at the, you know, in two things, a school owner that's at 25,000, the next year is going to be at 27,000, is really mentally, in many cases, no different than a school owner that's doing 7,000 is going to be at 8 or 9 next year. Is the school owners that are going to double are the ones that are, when presented an opportunity for their own growth and presented an idea that's going to move them to better growth, immediately jump on it. And in many cases, immediately jump on it, assuming and hoping that jumping on it is going to teach them how to pay for it, rather than going about it the other direction. And, you know, this is true of many things in life, but if you just take massive action, you get massive results. On the other hand, if you're tepid and slow and prone to thinking about it too long and not just getting off the bandwagon and going for it, then you're going to make incremental improvement rather than dramatic improvement. Toby, does that all make sense? I mean, what would you amplify with that from what you've seen?
Well, I mean, front of the money, this all goes back to a belief structure. And the commonality with the folks that were not just because they're somehow deficient or although some of those things may be true, but it's endemic of the industry. And it's not just this industry. This type of an operational gap is exactly what many other industries do. You know, chiropractors and dentists, attorneys and physicians, cosmetic surgeons and auto repair shop owners. It's all the same. And what I'm very excited about, especially for the next 24 months, but is that what you bring to the table, what we bring to the table collectively, is not how to be the industry average, how to be it's about how to be the top 20%. And that's how you change an industry. That's how you take an industry to the next level. You can't move an industry to the next level by helping the bottom 2% be 5% better. You've got to take people and move them into the top 20% so that they can drive the industry forward, they can lead it forward. And that's what we're seeing in every other industry, you name it, any other small business industry, from restaurants all the way to, you know, from acupuncturists all the way to, I don't know, not sure, something that starts with a Z, right? You know, xylophone repair people. It's exactly the same. So, you know, it's important that everybody ignore industry averages. Forget what the guy down the street is doing. Forget what the idiots who are, you know, part of XYZ Association and ABC Association. Who cares? Forget what they're doing. Let's focus on what the top 5% that they're doing and figure out how that becomes the new norm. So I mean, I totally agree with you, but it's human nature and it's belief that are endemic in our industry. And that's what our mission is to change. So for all of our members, I mean, look, the example of the industry. If you were to survey the martial arts industry and ask them what the, you know, most difficult time of the year is to generate leads, they would say June and July, right? Maybe the end of December. Well, that ain't true. You know, we know that that's not true now, don't we? You know, with all the stuff we do in the summertime. You know, so again, I think it goes back to ignore industry norms, ignore belief systems of, let's call it the past. And everybody needs a step into the top 20%. And it's not about taking little steps to get there. Take a big jump. You know?
Yeah.
And that's
you know, I was telling our franchisees, you know, back in 1983, you know, I didn't say, God, I'd be delighted if I had 30 students the first month and got to 40 students the second month and got 50 students the third month. And I didn't say that. I said, here's a threshold I need to be at. The number at the time was 100. So in the first 4 to 6 weeks of opening a new school, I held myself accountable for 100 active students. And I then held myself accountable for $20,000 gross per month. And within the first 90 days, every school, first 30 to 45, every school was at 100. And within the first 90 days, every school was breaking $20,000 a month. And it's a lot easier to do that now than it was then. You guys have access to much better information from us than was ever available then. But you just got to make that decision, snap your fingers, and be there. And you know, there's nothing magical about it, but that belief system is powerful. You've got to decide to make that jump. The other thing, Toby, is going through. Again, what we found is, and I'll say now, all the members that had attended the event that I talked to, is you and I are both fairly prolific, and we have, you know, literally hundreds of other contributors, you know, many others that are very good. But what happens is our members get so much information that they then oftentimes, if they're in take action mode, big if they're in take action mode, is they now get bogged down with a 42-point to-do list. And what I have found is the huge difference, and Robert, you can attest to this, or you know, if we have any of the other Inner Circle Peak performers on the call, we can certainly speak up, but the difference is in us working one-on-one with somebody is in honing down that 52-point to-do list into what's number one, and then what's number two, and then what's number three. And truthfully, you never are working on 50 things at once. You either have a list of 50 things you're working on nothing, or you have a list of 50 things that have been prioritized and somebody has told you and helped you figure out, here's my number one thing to do, here's my number two thing to do, here's my number three thing to do. And that's really a key element of making massive jumps. So to go from 10 to 30, or to go from 30 to 60, or to go from 60 to 100,000 a month, is it's about honing in, not having, but honing in that to-do list, and just getting to work on one thing at a time, knocking that out, and getting to work on the next thing at a time, next thing, and next thing. And one thing may be wrong, but I mean, if you've got a small number of projects that you're knocking off your plate. The thing is doesn't do any good to have projects. What does you some good is to complete them. Get them off your checklist and move on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
You know, Mr. Harper, I think something I'd add to that is this. If you look at 4 months worth of management, right? If you just tore the envelope open on the table, you know, there's more than enough stuff to add 5-10,000 a month to the score, right? You've got a meeting handling every month, the press to your front doors, plenty of, you know, marketing material that's useful enough to get, you know, a trickle of new students. There's plenty of, you know, how to answer the phone, how to, you know, whatever. But here's what the biggest challenge is, and this is why what you're talking about, I think, is so relevant, so important to everybody who's listening to the call. The majority of implementation doesn't have to do with technical, right? Now, there is a lot of technical stuff like copywriting and, you know, productive headlines and, you know,
well,
offers often better than other offers.
And the specific terminology to handle an objection in the enrollment process, the specific outline,
exactly.
The intro.
Exactly. But if you were to put all of those technical how-to components in a bucket, right, like you said, how to answer the phone, how to handle the first intro, how to structure the intro process, all those things. If you were to put all of those technical components, marketing efficacy, marketing skills, sales skills, instruction skills, if you were to put all those into a bucket, you're getting more than enough of that stuff in the envelope every month, right? But really the big gap is belief systems, right? And even given the best website in the world or the best location in the world or the best demographic in the world, you know, you can look at, like you said, Mr. Oliver, we just talked to a school owner the other day in New York. Probably, if not the number one, then one of the top five demographics on the planet, you know, and can't figure out how to do more than 4,000 a month, right? So it's not about the technical in many cases. It's about belief systems. So what this one-on-one interaction can really help us do is say, okay, John, look, tell me why you think that your demographic can't support me. And you make your case, right? And now give me 10 minutes to persuade you why you're not right, right? And we can actually help you look at things with a different perspective. Look at things from 40,000 feet in the air. Look at things in comparison and in relative to how well they're performing and those types of things. So in addition to the technical, the belief system is very important.
Yeah, I talked to a school in Manhattan that was doing 27 to 30,000 a month that should be doing 100,000 a month and probably with some enhancement from there could be doing 200,000 a month. I mean, the highest population density with some of the highest income in the, you know, in the freaking world. And they just couldn't get out of their own way to see it. And
I'll call your bed and raise you. I've got a guy on one of our lists. I interact with him on the email list. He just listens to our stuff because of you and I and our connection with the rest of the market, right? He is a cosmetic surgeon in Fort Lauderdale. Cosmetic surgeon in Fort Lauderdale going broke. Can't figure out how to get new customers. Right? Well, in Fort Lauderdale, every third mannequin has breast enhancements. Much less the real people, right? So if you're in Fort Lauderdale and you can't figure out how to make a cosmetic surgery clinic work, you know, there's a problem here, right? But I really think it does boil down to belief. If you for some reason believe that you can't sell at $150 a month or $197 a month, and changing your prices is the worst thing in the world, you've got to believe it first. And I think more than anything, that's what we've been very good at, one-on-one with people. It's helping them challenge their current beliefs and then helping them expand their beliefs beyond what their current limitations are today. And frankly, in my own life, that's what I value most from interaction with you and with folks like, you know, Dan Kennedy and Jay Abraham and Brian Tracy. You know, they help me expand my expectations of what I can accomplish, you know? And I think without that kind of mentorship, you're out there with all the mediocrities stuck in the mud.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and every industry is full of them, but certainly the martial arts industry is full of them. If you're hanging out at the karate tournament talking to your peers, you know, they're all going to have you convinced to be broke, even if they're, you know, if they don't think they're trying to do that. So you've got to be extremely concerned about that. Toby, one of the things that I guess you and Bob convinced me to do is that after our experience, which has been so successful with with Chicago and New York. Is I'm going to set aside some time next week to just do a small number of these one-on-ones with our Maximum Impact members. And, you know, of course, it's first come, first serve from the people in the call because I'm not going to do a bunch of them. But, I will tell you, and maybe it's just all the years of being involved with big schools and coaching small guys and the big guys is, you know, it usually doesn't take much time and much effort to find the hidden jewel in the school where, I talked to somebody who's a new peak performers member a few minutes ago, and he has 15 average enrollments a month, grossing $7,500 a month. Now, Robert, take your experience. If you're doing 15 enrollments a month, 180 a year, how much should you be doing gross revenue wise?
I would say you need a minimum of 30.
Yeah. That was my take on it. Is at least 30, probably more like 45, and it's one of those things where sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. So you just kind of step back and look at that and go, wow, you know, and by the way, a school that's doing 7,000 a month with 100 active students doing 15 new enrollments a month, everybody thinks they need to figure out advertising and marketing to get more people in to make more money. I talked to another school on the opposite end of the spectrum, and they've got 300 Krav Maga students and 100 Taekwondo students, and they're grossing about $40,000 a month. And so, Robert, with that kind of activity, what should they be grossing?
I'm sorry, Master Oliver. I was just tracking for a second. What were the numbers?
300 Krav Maga students and 100 Taekwondo students. What should they be grossing?
If you're not doing 80 to 100,000, there's a problem.
Exactly. Instead, it's low 40s, 40, 42, 43.
Oh my God!
And that was my reaction. I said, you know, you should be doing 100,000 a month, and here's why. Here's the knobs we need to turn. Here's the process to go through. And by the way, the first example is you have 100 active students that are paying $100 a month, month to month. Well, guess what? We can go do 50 or 100,000 in 60 days just in renewals. We had one of our peak performers members. I got him to do 45 renewals in the first week. And had planned on that he was going to spend 6 months figuring out what the leadership program structure was going to be. And my answer was, no, we're going to go sell the thing. And we did 45 renewals in a week. And so, I mean, that's the deal. You know, the deal is a trained eye looking at your numbers, giving you a sense of what it is you, where you are and where you should be, and then figuring out which knobs to turn. Robert, would you add anything to that? I mean, you've been through that process. You know that it's a big winner for anybody who will take action.
Well, I mean, I reiterate what you said. I mean, you're going to sit around and not do it.
You got to take action, and you've got to be willing to pull the trigger and really go for it. And if you're willing to pull the trigger and really go for it, you can make that big BHAG, big hairy audacious goals. You can set big hairy audacious goals and hit them. So it's really the way to make a dramatic jump in where you're at. But you've got to have those big hairy audacious goals. Toby, you were nice enough to put up that video from my presentation in Chicago that I think we probably should give Maximum Impact members who were nice enough to show up for a call today access to. What is that, napna.com/free video?
That's exactly right.
Okay. It's about, we'll warn everybody, it's about an hour and a half. So they really should take a time when, you know, with coffee in hand or whatever, take off the shoes, sit in front of the computer late at night or early in the morning and take some time to watch it uninterrupted. And go through it. But part of what I thought was useful is in a little bit more thorough way than we have time to do today, I went through some of the lessons of school owners that I had just talked to recently of, you know, where are the successful ones, what they're doing, what the failures are doing, which you don't want to do, by the way. You don't want to do what the failures are doing. But, you know, you want to go the opposite direction from that. And how to really make that kind of impact. So it's napna.com/free video. The other thing, again, that you guys taught me into doing was blocking out some time next week. And I believe we have blocked out Monday and Tuesday next week before our high-end sales seminar with Peak Performers Inner Circle and members who are registered to attend. So I blocked out, I believe it was Monday and Tuesday, But I'm only going to have a few slots to do that. I'm not going to make a lifetime project of doing that. But I volunteered to, on a kind of a first-come, first-served basis for Maximum Impact members who have done a couple of things. They'll watch that video and then fax over as much information about your school as possible ahead of time. In fact, Toby, I believe Bob has a little form they can fill out that'll give me some information for the call so it can be as useful as possible. Is that right?
Yeah, it's probably the best action step is just to call Bob at the office at the main number 767-540-0500, and his extension is 202, which you can get up with, or send him an email and he'll call you back. But just give him a buzz and then he'll send you the form and all that stuff for a time. We have to manage the schedule very tight, Bob will kind of be the point guy on that.
Yeah, don't email me because Bob's going to be the keeper of the schedule. If you go watch that video, fax in some stats on your school, and then and Bob will send you a little form to kind of fill out that'll give me a starting point, and then I'll promise that we'll do a one-on-one call. And a lot of times there's just three or four knobs that you don't see that we can turn the dial on and make a huge improvement in your results right away. So I would suggest again, first come, first serve. So I would call Bob today to get on that calendar for next week, and I'm going to do a very limited number of these. Obviously it chews up an awful lot of time, but the school owners that I've talked to and the ones that we're working with on a monthly basis, it's been extremely valuable. Robert, a couple thoughts on that before we move on to another topic here?
I would just say, for the guys that are on the phone, if they've never spent any time with you, they definitely, need to send you an email right now to make sure that they're on that list. I cannot recommend enough what a half hour with you can do for your business. It's kind of mind-blowing. Even now, after all the things we've been through over the last few years, I learned every time we talk. So it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, and on an ongoing basis, I mean, I only do consulting at a little over $1,200 an hour, and I'm pretty selective even on who I do that with. So, people might imagine my all the different activities we have going on keeps me pretty busy, but this is going to be for free for our Maximum Impact members. But again, there are pretty limited spots, so they should get into that and give Bob a call to get on the appointment. Anyway, Toby, let's move to a different topic here. Obviously, summer can be a huge, huge, huge enrollment period of time, and there are fairs, there are carnivals, there's Kung Fu Panda, there's just all kinds of stuff that's going on. And mythology number one is that summer is slow. Mythology number two is that people aren't willing to pay, high prices. I guess mythology number three is that people aren't willing to commit for more than 6 or 8 or weeks or 3 months over the summer. All of those we've, proven over and over and over again are failed assumptions. So what we clearly know is that people will take a big leap over the summer, and we can flood the schools with new people. From a standpoint of time urgency, clearly if they're going to jump on the Panda bandwagon, they've got to do it now. And we've got all the information up on the member website to do that. The other thing is we found with members and non-members alike is that martial arts guys seem to have a mental block about being quote-unquote salespeople, right? And the thing is that nobody is either good or bad at sales. They've either had or not had effective training at how to communicate well with people and move them into making a decision. So What's really interesting is that, people somehow, talk to me over and over and over again like, well, when my mother had me and I came out of the womb, I wasn't a good salesperson. and so therefore I need to like go hire a salesperson because I'm not a good salesperson. And of course, nothing's further from the truth. You know, you're a pretty good salesperson now. It's because you had lots and lots of sales training. I'm a pretty good salesperson now because I had lots and lots and lots of sales training. You know, nobody is you know, it'd be like a student coming in and saying to you with no training, well, I'm just not a good martial artist. Well, of course you're not a good martial artist. You've never trained in martial arts. The sales thing is exactly the same thing. If you're a sincere, focused, caring teacher, you owe it to yourself to be good at persuasion skills. And you owe it to yourself to know how to walk people down a path to do what it is they want to do and show them the benefit to get them over the hesitation. And element number one, I think there is no such thing as a good martial arts teacher. I mean, there are good martial arts technicians, but I don't think there are good martial arts teachers who aren't good persuaders. Because what you're doing constantly in every interaction is you're persuading the student to want to be a black belt. You're persuading the student to want to set goals and be serious about it. And you're also persuading a new prospective student into wanting to be a part of the, you know, the wonderful school you've created. And you're persuading existing students to want to be part of your school on an ongoing basis and really truly be part of your family. So talk to everybody. I mean, the timeline is short, but we have the sales training boot camp next weekend that, again, I've been coerced into really putting hundreds of hours preparation into. Would you explain that to everybody a little bit, Toby, and then let's give them a little checklist for June must-dos to be on top of their big, hairy, audacious goals?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing that we've noticed with especially new members when they come into the process is that, and Mr. Alvarez, I'm getting a little bit of that echo. That might be reverberating again on us here. One of the things that we've noticed is, especially when new members come into the pipeline, is that we can pretty quickly put more traffic in the front end of their school than typically they're used to, right? And especially with something like Panda or these other summer promotions we're doing, it's not, you know, 10 or 15 extra leads a month. It's 200 or 300 extra leads per month. So what tends to happen is, like what you were describing, is they sort of get kind of caught like a deer in the headlights, and they say, oh, my God, I've got all this traffic. And their, quote-unquote, sales process sort of crumbles. Right, the effectiveness of moving people from an appointment to an intro to an enrollment, in many cases, can get overwhelmed and you know, overstimulated. So they kind of lose focus. They think, oh my God, I've got 200 leads. I don't have to work very hard to get, you know, 20 enrollments this month. When in reality, that means they take their foot off the gas completely and, you know, don't enroll any. You know, because they've kind of gotten lazy or took their eye off the ball in the sales process. So, and that echo is better now. So that's great. So what we decided to do was to, and again, it's been sort of a circular conversation, but we really wanted to be able to spend some solid time focused on just that process, just the quote-unquote sales process. And again, I'm at risk of people not understanding exactly what I'm talking about when I'm describing this, but this is really about being a leader. It's about helping someone do what they want to do for their own reasons in your school, right? And it's about helping them overcome every possible objection that they may have. It's about helping them clearly see the benefits of what you're doing so crystal clear and in such concrete terms that the commitment you're asking them to make, the tuition you're asking them to pay, is all inconsequential in relative terms to the benefit that they should be expecting and that you actually are delivering. So none of this is about being slick or greasy or disingenuous or forcing someone to do something that, you know, is bad for them or, you know, whatever. This is really about highly ethical, highly honest, in fact, much more honest than most people are used to in many cases, getting sales done, getting students enrolled. So it's about how to handle the info call, how to handle the intro appointment, how to handle the confirmation call, how to handle the second introductory conference, how to handle the presentation of the program, the price presentation, commitment presentation, contract, EFT presentation, all that stuff, at the same time prepping them for the renewal, prepping them for what you know later on down the road is you want to move them up to the next level. So it's really nuts and bolts. It's also an opportunity where the Inner Circle and People Forum members are kind of coming together as well, you know, for the day before, or, you know, for their meeting before. But it's a collaboration opportunity. So certainly we're going to be facilitating, you know, what we're doing in the franchise, in many of the systems that we're using for the franchisees, but also what's working all over the planet and any specific challenges that schools are having with the enrollment process. They're bringing them to the table so that we can help solve those problems for them. And it's also a great opportunity for staff members. So if you have a program director who is handling some of the sales for you, or someone who answers the telephone for you, or someone who follows up on appointments for you, anyone who interacts with a customer, with a potential customer, before they're an actual enrolled student or a renewed student, these are the people who can benefit from this type of a thing. Now, the two decisions that we made about this, number one was that it's a very small meeting, right? This isn't the national conferences that we do. This isn't the big business seminars. This is for high-level, highly focused school owners. You know, this isn't a basics seminar, although we're going to cover from the ground up, right? This isn't, you know, if I'm, you know, five students part-time in a YMCA, this isn't your deal. You know, this is for the guys who really want to add 100 students this year. I'm sorry.
Heavy hitters currently or can be quickly.
Exactly. It's definitely focused on aspiration. Exactly. If you're at 50 students and you want to be at 55 by the end of the year, don't bother with this. But if you're at 50 and you want to be at 250 by the end of the year, this is your deal, right? Now again, we made that decision,
and to be fair, most of the participants are going to be $40,000-$50,000 a month school owners who are looking to tune and tweak their skills and to take it to a new higher level. And it is the gap. It's the difference between a $50,000 a month school and a $100,000 a month school. It's also the difference between a $25,000 a month school and a $50,000 a month school. Is that, you know, the subtleties of handling objection, improving the enrollment ratios, prepping people properly, and to emphasize something you said a minute ago too is, you know, my belief system about the sales process is you know what Covey says in Seven Habits is this win-win or no deal, and way too many martial artists by being sensitive about being quote unquote salespeople. End up with a lose-lose situation. They end up letting a student leave their school and not benefit from the fabulous things that they have available in their school, and they lose what would otherwise be a potentially really excellent student. And so what we want is win-win. We want to have the students who should be and will gain great value from your program, get them over the hump and let them do it. And we want to be winners ourselves by obviously dramatic improvements in our income and dramatic improvements in not only the volume of students, the quality of the students we have.
Absolutely. So this weekend basically is that it's putting pen to paper on all that. So it's certainly this is the example script and this is the example of the process to follow up and things like that. But even more so, it's you and your staff members, you know, sitting across from another human being, walking through all this stuff. It's about the proper eye contact and body position and phraseology and timbre and pitch of your voice and the speed that you talk and, you know, where to touch them on the elbow when it's about delivering this stuff in a very concrete way and about getting some real confidence in the sales process before you leave the room on late Saturday evening. And then, so that's basically the deal. But again, it's a very small event, very tight-knit. And, you know, non-members who are registering for this thing, it's, you know, $1,997 for them to attend. And we only, I think we have like six chairs that we're able to put people in. It's a very small, you know, intimate gathering of high-level folks. So, that's really the deal. So, again, if that's something that fits, you know, your needs, you know, if that's something that, if you looked at your statistics and you found that your you know, intro to enrollment ratio was something south of 80%, you know, or your lead to intro ratio was something south of 80%, then this is the gap for you. This is a gap that needs to be filled. So, you know, it's going to be pretty intense. So they're long days, long hours, and pretty intense, but that's by design.
Absolutely. And now, and Bob, are you on the call? Is Bob Dunn on the call?
He's not today.
Okay, okay. Maybe to recap real quickly some action steps for the, obviously for June. And we tend to talk on these calls a lot about marketing because, it, you know, a lot of these things are time sensitive. And clearly you can make make hay with Father's Day this month. The other thing that you can really focus on and get great results with is this panda deal. And everything that you could possibly need to, you know, to shoot that to the moon is up on the member website. So if you haven't gone through that, or if you think you missed it, or if you, you know, think you're doing well, you know, go back and go through all that stuff. But in the meantime, Toby, for the quick checklist of what has to be focused on in June here. So let's walk through that. Obviously, the marketing pieces are important. But what's also important is to make sure that you really rev up your school for the summer, because you've got to make it exciting for the summer, so you don't lose people. One of the great ideas I heard, and I'll credit where credit's due, I think this was Steve LaValle, is his program director would sit down one-on-one with each family, and it wasn't a long conversation because you've got a lot of people to talk to, but would set one-on-one with each family right about now. And we would sit down and go through with each of them and find out when they were going to be out of town, when their vacation was, what their schedule was over the summer, and pre-plan in June what their schedule was going to be like for the summer so they could stay on track with the testing process. And it's an important thing to keep focused on and keep in mind. Is to stay focused on interacting with each student, knowing ahead of time when they're going to be in town, when they're not going to be in town, planning ahead of time. So if you have a 3-month period where you want the students to attend 9 times a month or 27 times for the summer, let's say, is if you sit down with each of them and say, well, you know, it's important for us to stay on track on your testing cycle. And we want to make sure that now until, the end of summer that you get 27 lessons in. Let's talk about when you're going to be in town and when you're going to be out of town, and figure out what we need to do to make up. And so if we do 3 lessons a week for the next couple weeks, then you're out of town for 2 weeks before and after July 4th. Then you're back in, we do 3 lessons for a couple weeks after that, you're on track and you haven't gotten off track. You know, those types of conversations are very important right now to make sure that students don't go away for a couple of weeks and they get off track on their bell testing and they get discouraged. So it's extremely important to be focused on and have a handle on student retention. I mean, there's 2 times when student retention can be a problem because they just can fade out, and that's now and around Christmas. So you've got to be on top of that. Tell me, what are some other thoughts on essentials for June right now?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, so far as retention goes, summer obviously always presents that challenge, and in some schools it's more dramatic than others, especially if it's a school that simply doesn't use a written agreement. And I mean, I know this is very basic, and probably, you know, at least 75% of the people on the call are already kind of past this developmental stage. But if you're still, you know, not using some kind of a written agreement for your students, they really, not only do they not have a contractual commitment to you, that's really the irrelevant part. The relevant part is they don't have a psychological commitment to you. So, you know, now they go away in June for 2.5 weeks, they get out of the habit of coming, and they just forget about you, you know? They just get on to whatever's next, or they get on to whatever crisis of the moment may take them, and they just forget. They just don't come back. So, you know, the written agreement strategies, I mean, this is really all about when they go away for vacation, you're like one of the phone calls they make, you know, so that they, you know, hey, Mr. Jones, I'm going to be out of town, you know, how can we get caught back up? Or, you know, what can we do with, you know, do I lose this amount of time or what happens? You know, at least now it's something that's a concern for them. So, I mean, I think that's totally a basic kind of fundamental, but if you don't have any psychological commitment with the students, then it's really easy for them to flake out, right? But the second piece of that, I mean, as far as retention goes, is
let me interrupt you for a second and emphasize that for a second, right? I talked to a couple schools where a student has gone to grandmother's for July, or gone to divorced couple is at the father for the summer, and what they do is they cancel their billing until they come back, and then they start billing them again. And that's a very bad way to do it. One, obviously, your revenue drops over the summer. That's a bad thing. But two is it misses the point that your enrollment should be goal-based, right? So they're not just time-based, they're goal-based. And so let's say if I have a one-year agreement and then I renew them to black belt, which is another 3 years or another 2 years, well, their goal is to get to black belt. It's not that they're paying $200 for July and $200 for August, but they're paying payments towards the total package of what the program is. And the description, and it's always fine with just about everybody, is, well, Mrs. Jones, I mean, you're enrolled for a year, or you're enrolled to black belt, and you know, you just keep making the monthly payments over the summer. We add that time to the expiration. So if you're going to miss 2 months over the summer, we'll add 2 months. In fact, we'll add 3 months to get a little bit of time to get caught up. And by the way, let's plan now so we can do some extra classes, you know, before you leave, extra classes when you get back, and maybe do a little short private progress update to help stay on track once you get going again. I mean, you want to have that mentality with students, that it's an ongoing, and again, that's one of the mistakes I saw of the schools that were doing low numbers, is they were focusing on an enrollment of time rather than the goal. So you should be focused on getting to black belt, getting to secondary black belt, you're enrolled for a portion of the way to black belt. I mean, that, you know, that's really the focus, is that not, the focus is not to, you know, do a six-month contract and then a six-month contract and a nine-month contract, and certainly you don't want to get in the habit of having somebody not pay while they're on vacation for 3 months or a month or whatever it is. I mean, that's a real bad way to do it for you and for them, frankly, because it's really easy for them just not get back into the habit of coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, it's completely not the again, if you're going to segment the audience into two groups, there's more than that. But if you're going to segment into two groups, the bottom group are the guys who transactionalize their business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they do exactly the opposite of what you recommend. They treat it like a commodity where you're trading X dollars a month for lessons, right? And the worst thing in the world you can do for any product or service to which you want to be the premium option is to commoditize yourself, okay? It's like being a gas station across the street from another gas station with your prices on the damn board, right? Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out where a lot of the traffic is going to go, right? Whoever puts the lowest number on the board. That isn't the business we're in. We're in an expert personal service business. We're like the physician or the attorney or the surgeon or the, you know, the top legal minds of our age. When someone has a problem to solve, we are the best alternative for them, right? And the way you can do that is by decommoditizing yourself, by not transactionalizing your business. So people don't perceive that what they're doing is paying you $200 for 8 lessons this month or for, you know, 12 lessons this month. What they're doing is they're paying tuition, just like they do at their private school or their college or whatever it is. They're paying a tuition, but no one in the world thinks that when they enroll little Johnny in school, in a private school, that they're paying December for December's lessons. They're paying for the school year, You're just making a payment on the total balance of the school year. So the more you can model that relationship contractually, psychologically, culturally, everything that impacts them has to project that.
The dumbest thing, the worst iteration of that was when people did fitness kickboxing with punch cards.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Right. I mean that was the sure way to go broke. Is you just don't want it to be thinking that way. You want it to be on a goals attainment, focused on getting to a big goal, right? I was talking to a pretty successful school owner recently, and the conversation they were having about the renewal was about 2 years. And I said, well, why aren't you talking about black belt? They said, well, we're not allowed by law to do a contract for more than 2 years in our area. I said, well, no, you're not allowed by law to legally enforce anything more than 2 years of payments or prepaid, but you can certainly mentally, psychologically, and with personal commitment renew them to black belt, and then you can commit them to a period of time for payments, and then you'll have to do a bump or a contractual extension or something. But the two are different. If you have somebody, a conversation with somebody about where they want to be in 2 years, it's different than having a conversation about them getting to their black belt and what they're going to have achieved by the process of getting to black belt, what they're going to become in the process of being a black belt, what they're going to, how they can see themselves as a black belt. I mean, that's a whole different conversation, and it's an important one. Hey, Toby, we do have Bob on the line with us now. So, hey, Bob, say hi to everybody. Earth the bomb.
Perhaps.
Perhaps not.
I don't see him on the list.
Oh, he just told me he was on. But anyway,
Bob, try to talk now. I think I got you unmuted.
How about now? Am I on with guys?
Hey, there you go.
Now
you're talking, and everybody can hear you. Hey, Bob, you may have missed some of the conversation, but you have an opportunity on more so than Toby and I to talk to members and non-members, failing schools and successful schools. And I was saying some lessons from Chicago and New York were failing schools move slowly on opportunity, successful schools jump on opportunity quickly. Failing schools are charging low amounts of money. Successful schools are charging at the higher end of the tuition scale. Successful schools have a solid enrollment process and a renewal process. Many of the failing schools don't have that in place. And mostly the successful schools have big, hairy, audacious goals. And the small schools have small, incremental goals. And finally, we hear, broke schools are going to stay broke, say, I can't afford that because, where the ones who are successful are going to be successful, say, I'll figure it out and jump on opportunity. What would you add to that with all the many people you talk to?
Yeah, absolutely. And I apologize for missing part of the call, but, yeah, I've been talking to some of our other members. And I did catch the last part your conversation and part of Toby's, and I couldn't agree more. I would say most of the school owners that I do chat with, guys that are looking into them, when I get into how their operations are or how they're doing their, how they're structured with all of their current students, a lot of them are trading them as a commodity. They're literally billing based on class schedules. They've got their school structures around, okay, if a student comes twice a week, it's X amount of dollars. You can come three times a week, and it's X amount of dollars. Again, with the agreement process, too, as you had said, a lot of them think contract. And again, I couldn't agree with you more. I tried to explain to them it's not about the financial agreement. It's about the mental agreement. And getting them to think that way is I would say one of the biggest challenges most of the school owners that I speak with, getting them to understand that and structuring their systems around that mental mindset is powerful, because they are all, I mean, so many of them are into that trading dollars per dollars per time, and yeah, instead of looking at that long-term agreement. And a lot of them have challenges with understanding the perception on, progressing a student all the way up to the black belt and making it a black belt program. And but again, short story is that, almost all the struggling schools, they literally are just trading class time for dollars.
Master Oliver, here's what I think the root of this is, right? And again, I'm trying to be like 40,000 feet in the air on this specific item, right? It goes back to exactly the same thing I was talking about before. It's about a belief system. And here's what it is. The schools who fit into that category are simply afraid that they believe that they want to build a structure to where they will never have anyone tell them they can't afford it. Or they will never have anyone say, well, God, why do I have to sign a contract, right? But the reality of that is, though, that there is no price low enough that everybody can afford. There is no commitment short enough that someone won't have an objection to it. So the fact of the matter is, you have to learn to manage those objections. You have to learn to manage your state and your belief in yourself and all of that, emotional mess. It's okay if people can't afford it. It's okay. We don't have to serve everybody. We don't have to, Apple Computer, I think, has a great corporate culture about that specific relationship with their customer. Apple Computer knows that everyone is not going to be a Mac user. They're simply not. But they want the premium users, right? And this is sort of like what we can do in our martial arts schools, too. Everybody can't be a customer. If you want to get everybody, look at your school right now. Do you have everybody now? You simply won't be able. You simply can't have everybody.
Here was one of the best examples, I think, of some of the conversations I had with people is one gentleman said, well, and by the way, he was charging $75 a month. And he said, well, I had a mom tell me I was only about the money. And I don't want to start charging so much that everybody thinks I'm only about the money. And by the way, everybody in the call, if they go watch that video in the NAMNA.com/free-video, I talk about this specifically in there. But, if you're charging money at all, occasionally you're going to have somebody say that about you. And the Harvard University is one of the most expensive universities in the world, not the cheapest. And if you're providing fabulous quality, then people think that less. If you're providing bad quality, regardless of how much you charge, they're going to think that. So it's all about quality. It's not about and the other example is there's going to be a small percentage of the population, no matter what you do, has an opinion that's different than what you'd like them to have. You just got to get over worrying about what the minority's opinion is. If 80% of your students think you're about the money, that means your service sucks. Not that your pricing is wrong, but if one person, a month or a quarter or a year, says that it's just their opinion, you got to get rid of it. Worrying about that. The other thing, I had one who said, well, there was a martial arts school who did this black belt club thing and screwed up the market. I said, well, how long ago was that? Well, 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Okay, I mean, and there have been idiots in people's market. That doesn't mean that, there's anything wrong with doing a black belt club, but there have been people who have, taken the money and run, and there have been people who have sued people on contracts and done stuff that's bad. But, just because you're paying attention to what has happened out there in the market doesn't mean that anybody else is. And even if they are, you overcome that with quality and professionalism. You don't overcome that by not doing what you should be doing professionally to run the school effectively. So you've got to be doing the things that you should be doing to run the school. Hey, Toby, I know we're about out of time. I wanted to, Bob, I made an offer to everybody on the call. that I would extend the doing the one-on-one call that we've been doing with the seminar attendees to any of the Maximum Impact members who are on the call today. If they call you and get booked into one of those appointment slots Monday and Tuesday. So remind them again what the office number in your extension is so that they can do that quickly, because there's not many slots.
Absolutely. It's you can call 727-540-0500, extension 202. And that'll type you right through to me.
And Mr. Oliver, also on that, namba.com/free video, there's a button at the bottom of the page that you can click, and it'll connect you right with Bob. So.
Okay, cool. But I would recommend that they call Bob immediately, because those are going to book up, and then make sure you take an opportunity to watch that video. Mr. Milroy, I know we're out of time, and Mr. Dunn, thank you for your contributions today, and we certainly welcome people to give you a call on Monday or Tuesday next week. And Mr. Miller, I'm going to call you right back and include you in a couple calls, if that's okay with you. Okay. Thanks to everybody. I will point out again, make July a record month. You can do 50 or 100 new students this month. We've got all the tools for you, but you got to take action. You've got to take aggressive action. You've got to have big, hairy, audacious goals to do it. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody.